is great mourning. The hour prefixed for her delivery to this valiant Greek comes fast upon us. Good, my brother Troilus, tell you the lady what she is to do and haste her to the purpose.
Walk into her house. I'll bring her to the Grecian presently. And to his hand, when I deliver her, think it an altar, and thy brother Troilus a priest, there offering to it his own heart.
I know what 'tis to love, and would, as I shall pity, I could help. Please you walk in, my lords.
Be moderate, be moderate.
Oh, I tell you, me of moderation. The grief is fine, full, perfect that I taste, and no less in a sense as strong as that which causeth it. How can I moderate it? If I could temporize with my affection or brew it to a weak and colder palate, the like allayment could I give my grief. My love admits no qualifying dross. No more my grief in such a precious loss.
Here he comes, our sweet ducks.
Oh, Troilus, Troilus.
Oh, what a pair of spectacles is here. Let me embrace too. Oh, heart, as the goodly saying is, oh, heart, heavy heart, why sighs thou without breaking? Well, he answers again, because thou canst not ease thy smart by friendship nor by speaking. There was never a truer rhyme. Let us cast away nothing, for we may live to have need of such a verse. We see it, we see it. How now, lamb?
Tressy, I love thee in so strange a purity that the blessed gods, as angry with my fancy, more bright in zeal than the devotion which cold lips blow to their deities, take thee from me.
Have the gods envied?
Aye. It is too plain a case.
And is it true that I must go from Troy?
A hateful truth.
What? And from Troilus too?
From Troy and Troilus.
Is possible?
And suddenly, when injury of chance puts back leave-taking, jostles roughly by all time of pause, rudely beguiles our lips of all rejoinder, forcibly prevents our locked embraces, strangles our dear vows even in the birth of our own laboring breath. We two, that with so many thousand sighs defy each other, must poorly sell ourselves with a rude brevity and discharge of one. Injurious time, now with a robber's haste, crams his rich thievery up, he knows not how. As many farewells as be stars in heaven, with distinct breath and consigned kisses to them, he fumbles up into a loose adieu, and scants us with a single famished kiss, distasted with a salt of broken tears.
My lord, is the lady ready?
Hark, you're called. Some say the genius so cries, come to him that instantly must die. Bid them have patience, she shall come along.
Where are my tears? Rain to lay this wind, or my heart will be blown up by the root.
I must then to the Grecians.
No remedy.
A woeful crescent amongst the many Greeks. When shall we see again?
Hear me, my love. Be thou but true of heart.
I true? How now? What wicked deem is this?
Never must use expostulation kindly, for it is parting from us. I speak not, be thou true as fearing thee, for I will throw my glove to death himself, that there's no maculation in thy heart. But be thou true, say I, to fashion in my sequent protestation. Be thou true, and I will see thee.
Oh, you shall be exposed, my lord, to dangers as infinite as imminent. But I'll be true.
And I'll be a friend with danger. Wear this sleeve.
And you this glove. When shall I see you?
I will corrupt the Grecian sentinels to give thee nightly visitation. But yet, be true.
Oh, heavens, be true again.
Hear why I speak it, love. The Grecian youths are full of quality. They're loving, well composed with gifts of nature, flowing and swelling o'er with arts and exercise. How novelties may move and parts with person, alas, a kind of godly jealousy, which I beseech you call a virtuous sin, makes me a villain.
Oh, heavens, you love me not.
Die I a villain, then. In this I do not call your faith in question so mainly as my merit. I cannot sing, nor heal the high levolt, nor sweeten talk, nor play at subtle games. Fair virtues all, to which the Grecians are most prompt and pregnant. But I can tell that in each grace of these there lurks a still and dumb discoursive devil that tempts most cunningly, but be not tempted.
Do you think I will?
No. But something may be done that we will not. And sometimes we are devils to ourselves when we will tempt the frailty of our powers, presuming on their changeful potency.
Hey, good my lord!
Come kiss and let us part.
Brother Troilus!
Good brother, come you hither and bring Aeneas and the Grecian with you.
My lord! Will you be true?
Who, I? Alas, it is my vice, my fault. Whilst others fish with craft for great opinion, I with great truth catch mere simplicity. While some with cunning gild their copper crowns, with truth and plainness I do wear mine bare. Fear not my truth. The moral of my wit is plain and true. There's all the reach of it. Welcome, Sir Diomed. Here is the lady which for Antina we deliver you. At the port, lord, I'll give her to thy hand, and by the way, possess thee what she is. Entreat her fair, and by my soul, fair Greek, if e'er thou stand at mercy of my sword, name Cressid, and thy life shall be as safe as Priam is in Ilium.
Fair Lady Cressid, so please you save the thanks this prince expects. The luster in your eye, heaven in your cheek, pleads your fair usage. And to Diomed you shall be mistress and command him wholly.
Grecian! Thou dost not use me courteously to shame the zeal of my petition towards in praising her. I tell thee, lord of Greece, she is as far high-soaring o'er thy praises as thou unworthy to be called her servant. I charge thee use her well, even for my charge, for I, the dreadful Pluto, if thou dost not, though the great bark Achilles be thy guard, I'll cut thy throat.
Oh, be not moved, Prince Troilus. Let me be privileged by my place and message to be a speaker free. When I am hence, I'll answer to my lust. And know, my lord, I'll nothing do on charge. To her own worth she shall be prized. But that you say, be it so, I'll speak it in my spirit and honor, no.
Come to the port. I tell thee, Diomed, this brave shall oft make thee to hide thy head. Lady, give me your hand, and as we walk to our own selves, bend we our needful talk.
Hark, Hector's trumpet! How have we spent this morning? The prince must think me tardy and remiss that swore to ride before him to the field.
It is Troilus' fault.
Come, come to field with him.
Let us make ready straight.
Yea, with a bridegroom's fresh alacrity, let us address to tend on Hector's heels. The glory of our Troy doth this day lie on his fair worth and single chivalry.
Now in appointment fresh and fair, anticipating time with starting courage. Give with thy trumpet a loud note to Troy, thou dreadful Ajax, that the appalling air may pierce the head of the great combatant and hail him hither.
Thou trumpet, there's my purse. Now crack thy lungs and spit thy brazen pipe. Blow, villain, till thy spirit by his cheek outswell the colic of puffed Aquilon. Come, stretch thy chest and let thy eyes spout blood. Thou blowest for Hector!
No trumpet answers.
Tis but early days.
Is not yon Diomed with Calchas' daughter?
Tis he. I ken the manner of his gait. He rises on the toe. That spirit of his in aspiration lifts him from the earth.
Is this the Lady Cressid?
Even she.
Most dearly welcome to the Greeks, sweet lady.
Our general doth salute you with a kiss.
Oh, yet is the kindness but particular. It were better she were kissed in general.
I'll begin. So much for this talk.
I'll take that winter from your lips, fair lady.
Achilles bid you welcome.
I had good argument for kissing once,
but that's no argument for kissing now.
For thus popped Paris in his hardiment. And parted thus, you and your argument.
Deadly gall, and few of all our scorns for which we lose our heads to give his horn.
The first was Menelaus kissed this mine. Patroclus kisses you.
Oh, this is trim.
Paris and I kiss evermore for him.
I'll have my kiss, sir.
Lady, by your leave.
In kissing, do you render or receive?
Both take and give.
I'll make my match to live. The kiss you take is better than you give, therefore no kiss.
I'll give you boot. I'll give you three for one.
You're an odd man. Give even or give none.
An odd man, lady. Every man is odd.
No, Paris is not. For you know 'tis true that you are odd. And he is even with you.
Aye, you tell him by the head.
No, have you sworn?
It would no match your nail against his horn. May I, sweet lady, beg a kiss of you?
You may.
I do desire it.
Why, beg then?
Why then, for Venus' sake, give me a kiss when Helen is a maid again and his...
I am your debtor. Claim it when 'tis due.
Never's my day, and then a kiss of you.
Lady, a word. I'll bring you to your father.
A woman of quick sense.
Fie upon her. There's language in her eye, her cheek, her lip. Nay, her foot speaks. Her wanton spirits look out of every joint and motive of her body. Oh, these encounterers, so glib of tongue, that give a coasting welcome ere it comes, and wide unclasp the tables of their thoughts to every tickling reader. Set them down for sluttish spoils of opportunity and daughters of the game.
Hail, all you state of Greece! What shall be done to him that victory commands? Or do you purpose a victor shall be known? Will you the knight shall to the edge of all extremity pursue each other, or shall be divided by any voice or order of the field? Hector bade ask.
Which way would Hector have it?
He cares not, he'll obey conditions.
'Tis done like Hector, but securely done. A little proudly, and great deal despising the knight opposed.
If not Achilles, sir, what is your name?
If not Achilles, nothing.
Therefore Achilles. But whate'er, know this in the extremity of great and little. Valor and pride excel themselves in Hector, the one almost as infinite as all, the other blank as nothing. Weigh him well, and that which looks like pride is courtesy. This Ajax is half made of Hector's blood, in love whereof half Hector stays at home. Half heart, half hand, half Hector comes to seek. This blended knight, half Trojan and half Greek.
A maiden battle, then. Oh, I perceive you.
Here is Sir Diomed. Go, gentle knight, stand by our Ajax. As you and Lord Aeneas consent upon the order of their fight, so be it. Either to the uttermost or else a breath. The combatants being kin, half stints their strife before their strokes begin.
They're opposed already.
What Trojan is that same that looks so heavy?
Oh, the youngest son of Priam. A true knight. Not yet mature, yet matchless, firm of word, speaking in deeds and deedless in his tongue. Not soon provoked, nor being provoked soon calmed. His heart and hand both open and both free, for what he has he gives, what thinks he shows. Yet gives he not till judgment guide his bounty, nor dignifies an impaired thought with breath. Manly as Hector, but more dangerous, for Hector, in his blaze of wrath, subscribes to tender objects. But he, in heat of action, is more vindicative than jealous love. They call him Troilus, and on him erect a second hope as fairly built as Hector. Thus says Aeneas, one that knows the youth even to his inches, and with private soul did in great Ilion thus translate him to me.
Hector asleeps, awake thee!
You must no more. Prince is enough, so please you.
And I'm not warm yet. Let us fight again.
Hector pleases. Why then will I no more? Thou art, great lord, my father's sister's son, a cousin german to great Priam's seed. The obligation of our blood forbids a gory emulation twixt us twain. Were thy conviction Greek and Trojan, so that thou could say this hand is Grecian all and this is Trojan, the sinews of this leg all Greek and this all Troy, my mother's blood runs on the dexter cheek, and this sinister bounds in my father's. By Jove, multipotent, thou shouldst not bear from me a Greekish member wherein my sword had not impression made of our rank few. But the just gods gainsay that any drop thou borrowedst from thy mother, my sacred aunt, should by my mortal sword be drained. Let me embrace thee, Ajax. By him that thunders, thou hast lusty arms. Hector would have them fall upon him thus. Cousin, all honor to thee.
I thank thee, Hector. Thou art too gentle and too free a man. I came to kill thee, cousin, and bear hence a great addition earned in thy death.
Not Neoptolemus so mirable, on whose bright crest fame with her loud, oh yes, cries, this is he,
could promise to himself a thought of added honor torn from Hector.
There is expectance here from both sides what further you will do.
We'll answer it. The issue is embracement. Ajax, farewell.
If I might in entreaties find success as seldom I have the chance, I would entreat my famous cousin to our Grecian tent.
Tis Agamemnon's wish, and great Achilles doth long to see unarmed the valiant Hector.
Aeneas, call my brother Troilus to me, and signify this loving interview to the expectors of our Trojan part. Desire them home. Give me thy hand, my cousin. I will go eat with thee and see your knights.
Great Agamemnon comes to meet us here.
The worthiest of them, tell me name by name. But for Achilles, mine own searching eye shall find him by his large and portly size.
Worthy of arms! As welcome as to one that would be rid of such an enemy, but that's no welcome. Understand more clear, what's past and what's to come is strewed with husks and formless ruin of oblivion. But in this extant moment, faith and troth, strained purely from all hollow bias drawing, bids thee with most divine integrity, from heart of very heart, great Hector, welcome.
I thank thee, most imperious Agamemnon.
My well-famed lord of Troy, no less to you.
Let me confirm my princely brother's greeting. You brace of warlike brothers, welcome hither.
Who must we answer?
The noble Menelaus.
Oh, you, my lord. By Mars's gauntlet, thanks. Mark not that I affect the untraded oath. Your quondam wife swears still by Venus' glove. She's well, but bade me not commend her to
her. Oh, name her not now, sir. She's a deadly theme.
Your pardon, I offend.
I have, thou gallant Trojan, seen thee oft laboring for destiny, make cruel way through ranks of Greekish youth, and I have seen thee as hot as Perseus spur thy Phrygian steed, and seen thee scorning forfeits and subduements when thou hast hung thy advanced sword in the air, not letting it decline on the declined. That I have said unto my standers-by, lo, Jupiter is yonder dealing life. And I have seen thee pause and take thy breath when that a ring of Greeks have hemmed thee in like an Olympian wrestling. This have I seen, but this, thy countenance, still locked in steel, I never saw till now. I knew thy grandsire, and once fought with him. He was a soldier good, but by great Mars, the captain of us all, never like thee. Let an old man embrace thee, and worthy warrior, welcome to our tents.
'Tis the old Nestor.
Let me embrace thee, good old chronicle, that has so long walked hand in hand with time. Most reverend Nestor, I am glad to clasp thee.
I would my arms could match thee in contention as they contend with thee in courtesy.
I would they could.
Huh? By this white beard, I'd fight with thee tomorrow. Well, welcome, welcome. I have seen the time.
I wonder now how yonder city stands when we have here her base and pillar by us. I know your favor, Lord Ulysses, well. Ah, sir, there's many a Greek and Trojan dead since first I saw yourself and Diomed in Ilion on your Greekish embassy.
Sir, I foretold you then what would ensue. My prophecy is but half his journey yet. For yonder walls that pertly front your town, yon towers whose wanton tops do bust the clouds, must kiss their own feet.
I must not believe you. There they stand yet. And modestly I think the fall of every Phrygian stone will cost a drop of Grecian blood. The end crowns all, and that old common arbitrator Time will one day end it.
So to him we leave it. Most gentle and most valiant Hector, welcome. After the general, I beseech you next to feast with me and see me at my tent.
I shall forestall thee, Lord Ulysses, thou. Now, Hector, I have fed mine eyes on thee. I have with exact view perused thee, Hector, and quoted joint by joint.
Is this Achilles?
I am Achilles. Stand fair, I prithee. Let me look on thee. Behold thy fill. Nay, I have done already. Thou art too brief. I will the second time, as I would by thee, view thee limb by limb. Like a book of sport thou'lt read me o'er. But there's more in me than thou understandst. Why dost thou so oppress me with thine eye?
Tell me, you heavens, in which part of his body shall I destroy him? Whether there, or there, or there, that I may give the local wound a name, and make distinct the very breach whereout Hector's great spirit flew. Answer me, heavens!
It would disgrace proud man to answer such a question. Stand again.
Thinkst thou to catch my life so pleasantly as to prenominate in nice conjecture where thou wilt hit me dead?
I tell thee, yea.
Wert thou the oracle to tell me so, I'd not believe thee. Henceforth, guard thee well. For I'll not kill thee there, nor there, nor there. But by the forge that's still in Mars's helm, I'll kill thee everywhere. Yea, o'er and o'er. You wisest Grecians, pardon me this brag. His insolence draws folly from my lips. But I'll endeavor deeds to match these words, or may I never...
Do not chafe thee, cousin. And you, Achilles, let these threats alone till accident or purpose bring you to it. You may have every day enough of Hector if you have stomach. The general's state, I fear, can scarce entreat you to be odd with him.
I pray you let us see you in the field. We've had pelting wars since you refused the Grecian's cause.
Dost thou entreat me, Hector? Tomorrow do I meet thee, fell as death.
Tonight, all friends.
Thy hand upon the match.
First, all you peers of Greece, go to my tent. There in the full convive we. Afterwards, as Hector's leisure and your bounty shall concur together, severally entreat him. Beat loud the tambourines! Let the trumpets blow! That this great soldier may his welcome know!
My lord Ulysses,
Tell me, I beseech you, in what place of the field doth Calchas keep?
At Menelaus' tent, most princely Troilus. There Diomed doth feast with him tonight, who neither looks on heaven nor on earth, but gives all gaze and bent of amorous view on the fair Cressid.
Shall I, sweet lord, be bound to thee so much, after we part from Agamemnon's tent, to bring me thither?
You shall command me, sir. As gentle, tell me, of what honour was this Cressida in Troy? Had she no lover there that wails her absence?
Oh, sir, to such as boasting show their scars, a mock is due. Will you walk on, my lord? She was beloved, she loved, she is and doth. But still sweet love is food for fortune's tooth.
I'll heat his blood with Greekish wine tonight, which with my scimitar I'll cool tomorrow. Patroclus, let us feast him to the height.
Here comes Lysites.
How now, thou core of envy? Eh? Thou crusty botch of nature, what's the news?
Why, thou picture of what thou seemest, an idol of idiot worshippers. Here's a letter for thee.
From whence, fragment?
Why, thou full dish of fool, from Troy.
Who keeps the tent now?
The surgeon's box or the patient's wound.
Well said, adversity. And what need these tricks?
Prithee be silent, boy. I profit not by thy talk. Thou art thought to be Achilles' male varlet.
Male varlet, you rogue? What's that?
Why, his masculine whore. Now, the rotten diseases of the south, guts-griping ruptures, catarrhs, loads of gravel in the back, lethargies, cold palsies, raw eyes, dirt-rotten livers, whizzing lungs, bladders full of imposthumes, sciaticas, lime kills in the palm, incurable bone ache, and a rival fee symbol of the tetter. Take and take again such preposterous discoveries.
Why, thou damnable box of envy, thou, what meanst thou to curse thus?
Do I curse thee?
Why, no, you ruinous butt, you whoresome indistinguishable cur.
No? Why art thou then exasperate, thou idle, immaterial skein of sleeve silk, thou green sarasnet flap for a sore eye, thou tassel of a prodigal's purse, thou? Ah, how the poor world is pestered with such waterflies, diminutives of nature.
Out, Gaul.
Finch egg.
My sweet Patroclus, I am thwarted quite from my great purpose in tomorrow's battle. Here is a letter from Queen Hecuba, a token from her daughter, my fair love, both taxing me and gauging me to keep an oath that I have sworn. I will not break it. Fall, Greeks, fail, fame, honor, or go or stay, my major vow lies here. This I'll obey. Come, come, Thersites, help to trim my tent. This night in banqueting must all be spent. Away, Patroclus!
With too much blood and too little brain, these two may run mad. But if with too much brain and too little blood they do, I'll be a curer of madmen. Ah, here's Agamemnon, an honest fellow enough, and one that loves quails. But he has not so much brain as earwax. And the goodly transformation of Jupiter there, his brother, the bull, the primitive statue, an oblique memorial of cuckolds, a thrifty shoeing horn in a chain hanging at his brother's leg. To what form but that he is, should wit larded with malice and malice forced with wit turn him to? To an ass were nothing. He is both ass and ox. To an ox were nothing. He is both ox and ass. To be a dog, a mule, a cat, a fitch, or a toad, a lizard, an owl, a puttock, or a herring without a roe, I would not care. But to be Menelaus, I would conspire against destiny. Ask me not what I would be if I were not Thersites, for I care not to be the louse of a laser, so I were not Menelaus. Hoy day, spirits and fire.
Oh, yonder tis there where we see the light.
Oh, I trouble you.
No, not your wit.
Ah, here comes himself to guide you.
Welcome, brave Hector. Welcome, princes all.
Fair prince of Troy, I bid good night. Ajax commands the guards of temple. You?
Thanks, and good night to the Greeks, general.
Good night.
Sweet Lord Menelaus.
Sweet draught. Sweet quaffer. Sweet sink. Sweet sewer.
Good night and welcome both at once to those that go or tarry.
Good night.
Old Nestor tarries. And you too, Diomed. Keep Hector company an hour or two.
I cannot, Lord. I
have important business to tide whereof is now. Good night, great Hector.
Give me your hand.
Follow his torch. He goes to Calchas' tent. I'll bear you company.
Sweet sir, you honor me.
And so good night. Now come into my tent.
Good night, Father Nestor.
Now that same Diomed, a false-hearted rogue, a most unjust man. No more trust him when he leers than I will assert when he hisses. He will spend his mouth and promise like Brabler the hound. But when he performs, astronomers foretell it. It is prodigious. There will come some change. The sun borrows of the moon when Diomed keeps his word. I would rather leave to see Hector than not to dog him. They say he keeps a Trojan drab and uses the traitor Calchas as his tent. I'll after. Nothing but lechery. All incontinent violence.